Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Oh, I tell you, Jennifer, she is really a party pooper.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Jennifer poops at parties? So and people know this?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I poop at parties. I poop at parties, but people don't know because I close the door.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Where does she go for it? Does she visit a water closet and make door of the open so people may see and smell things? To sound horrible.
The Fan. New York streets will kill us
a walk like Pistol Pete. Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague on a Monday. Thank you for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. It's been a busy show. Football season's back. Things are just flying on by. I think the next Monday we're going to have college football and the NFL to react to.
Man.
My head is spinning. A couple of thoughts at the bed of you today. Text line. We'll start there. We were talking about the Pac-12. We'll get to some other stuff coming up here in the final hour. As well, somebody said response to the poll question, Washington will win the conference. They reloaded on defense. They have a quarterback who can stretch the field. Weapons at the skill positions, all their tough games are at home. Utah is one-dimensional on offense. Their D will not get two scores every week. Oregon's defense is thin. They won't hold up. Herbert is overrated. They are very bad on the road. And also, Cristobal is not a good head coach. Washington State is Washington State.
Yeah.
Their defense will let them down again. Also, the Apple Cup.
I mean, I don't agree with all those opinions in that text or tweet, but I kind of understand where they're coming from. My cousin, who I've mentioned before, is UW alum, and I kind of got him back into, like, watching every and following and going to games again. He texts me during that game and goes, dude, I forgot what it was like to have a quarterback who could throw the ball down the field. Now, that doesn't mean that every UW fan is buying into the Eason hype because they beat Eastern Washington. I just think this is the area we feel like we've missed in this window to win big.
Mm-hmm.
And at least even for one game against a lesser opponent,
sure,
you got an idea that this kid is capable of doing it. It's just, can they do it? Those Utah games, by the way, the Utah game's going to be big. We know the Oregon game and how big that one is. Let's not act like they're destroying Utah by any means. I mean, the last time those two teams played was in the title game, and it was...
Yeah, I mean, both games 10-3. Last year, they beat Utah on the road 21-7, but remember, they tried to hand it to Utah, and Utah couldn't score on them.
And Huntley missed, or it was either Huntley or it was the backup kid who missed...
I think Huntley was still playing then, yeah.
The wide-open target in the end zone. And
ugly, ugly game. And then they won 10-3 in the conference title game. So they were both ugly. And the thing about Washington, and I almost feel... It's like Washington and Oregon are flipped from last year to this year, which is kind of funny. Because Oregon's now going through the same thing that Washington went through, like shoulda, coulda, woulda against Auburn. And Oregon last year was beating up on crappy teams in non-conference, and everybody had sky-high expectations.
Right.
We won't know legitimately how good Washington is and how reloaded they are for a long time. So they got they played Eastern Washington, they beat them. They got Cal at home this week, who almost lost to UC Davis last week. They're at BYU, who, if you watch that Utah game, like, no thanks, they're going to handle BYU. Then they get USC at home, who's now playing with a backup quarterback. JT Daniels is out. At Stanford, that's probably the first time you get a sense of who they are, but that's not until October 5th. And then they're at Arizona before they play Oregon at home. Like, that's the start of their schedule.
That was a big reason I picked them to win the conference, and why most people, or not most, but a lot of people are. It's because of the schedule. Yeah,
and then they get a bye week. Robin Sherwood said the Pac-12 was a lot like Mac Brown's dancing. Not something you want to brag about, but recognize you still need to watch. That's a good way to put it. Did you see Mac Brown dancing in the locker room?
I did. That
you didn't like that look?
That wasn't even like... funny. That was just bad. He just leaned back and like kicked his arms up and down, back and forth.
He was doing the Mac Brown dance, man. He's dancing around.
Anytime you get the old white coach to do the dance of what the young kids are doing, I think it's always gonna resonate for the players a little bit of like, hey,
he's here.
Because I actually enjoyed his pregame speech. Even I don't know if you got a chance to hear that one, but he was in the locker room against South Carolina and said, I just need each of you to do your own job.
Yeah.
And we'll be okay.
He gave it. Did you see him cry after the game, too?
I did.
He started crying in his post-game interview.
I was happy for him.
I mean, that's cool. You could tell he cares. He cares about the kids. Like, second time around coach, or third time, whatever, around coaching, it means a lot to him. And Les Miles got his first win, albeit a close one against Indiana State, I believe.
Oh, I missed Kansas entirely.
They had to score a touchdown in the fourth quarter, and they won 17-16. I believe, I'll look it up, I believe it was against Indiana State.
Can you name all the current head coaches with a ring?
With a championship ring?
So they said this stat during one of the games, and I went, meh, 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 meh. Oh, yeah, meh.
So the two that we just talked about, Les Miles and Mac Brown,
yep.
Nick Saban, Dabo yep. Sweeney, Jimbo yep. Fisher.
Yep.
Who am I forgetting? Is there anybody else?
Honestly, I can't remember if it was five or six.
Because I just named five.
Yeah, you did five.
Is there another one, 5-5-3-0-5? I don't think so. Who else would it be? Alabama and Clemson have essentially won every title now for a while. Urban Meyer is not the current head coach.
It's five. It's five.
Yeah,
Jimbo. There are five current head coaches. That's what it was.
Okay, yeah.
Because I was thinking in my mind, oh, that's a cool stat. And then I thought Lincoln Riley's probably the best current coach without a ring.
That hasn't won one yet.
That has, even though it's only been like two years, 3 years?
Three years, yeah. And he's gone to the college football playoff both his first 2 years.
I just think when guys are transformative offensive minds or minds in general in football, and I think he's the most transformative one. I think he's our modern day Chip Kelly. And if Jalen Hurts wins the friggin' Heisman, I think NFL teams are going to offer that guy $10 million a year.
Yeah, he's going to get a lot of money thrown at him at the next level. By the way, Kansas beat Indiana State 24-17 at home. Yeah, so that was it. I'm glad you brought up Oklahoma. I want to get to them in a moment. We needed to bring up old Slick Willie did not have a good start to his year. So I took Boise State plus the 7.
And I thought Florida State was going to cover the 7.
You look at the start of that game, it was 21-6 at the end of the first quarter. Florida State was firing on all cylinders. It was 31-19 at the half. Florida State put up 31 first half points. Clicking, firing, here we go, Florida State's back, baby.
New offense, you got Kendall Briles, Briles' kid, calling the
which
plays.
Which is a whole other controversy in its own right. But I'm following that thinking, man, Boise State plus a 7, what a dumb pick. Then they outscored Florida State 17-0 in the second half, and they won 36-31 at Florida State. The game, by the way, was supposed to be in Jacksonville, got moved to Tallahassee. It was a half-empty stadium because of that factor. But Boise State had a tougher travel route, considering they were already across the country and then had to relocate again. I mean, how long is this dude going to last? That's bad. He needed to win that game, and he couldn't pull it off from home.
Not only did he need to win it, but if he would have won it in blowout fashion, I think a lot of people in Florida State and Tallahassee, they're going to freak out once you get blown out by Clemson. But they would have calmed way down and said, okay, he made the right move offensively and getting a new play caller in here.
Yeah.
And when you jump out to a 31-13 lead, man, I turned that on a little late, and I had seen that they were up, and I'm watching that, and Boise comes back, and when they scored their second-to-last score, I went, yeah, Florida State's cooked. They couldn't move the ball. After they got to 31 points, they were done. I don't know how much of that is a Harsin adjustment or how much that is Florida State had X amount of plays, they hit on them, and they couldn't do them again. That's a bad look, and if I'm the AD in Florida State, man, even if they win 8 games this year, do you want that guy back? Does he leave you confident at all? I always think you should measure your coach. Do you feel like you're going in with an advantage at head coach, or do you feel confident that your coach will get a W? And in that game, in the moment, they were up big. I bet everybody was saying, okay, maybe Willie's not as bad. And then you blow that game to Boise State at home, which at home, by the way, they didn't even have half the crowd there.
No, and I think a part of that was them moving the game because it was going to be in Jacksonville.
They moved it the last second.
So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt there.
But still, to lose that game in that fashion, what game are you walking in where you feel great about that guy?
Yeah. So that happened over the weekend. We'll see how long he lasts. His best thing he's got going for him is the ACC is a bad conference. So outside of Clemson, there's not a lot of landmines on that schedule. Maybe Florida at the end of the year, but
do you buy into the mental blowback that comes with a team when you lose a game like that? And then maybe the players start going, well, I mean, this dude can't get us to a dub.
Against a Mountain West opponent on your own field as well. That's tough to overcome. So we'll see where Florida State goes from there. One other college football note. How do we feel about Hugh Freeze coaching from a hospital bed?
I feel like you did a big disservice putting it at this time, that's almost its own. That's almost its own segment. Like, that dude's coaching from a hospital bed. Nobody thought that was a bad idea.
Hugh Freeze coach game from a hospital bed. We'll get to that coming up next. Also, how do you stop a hurricane? One Floridian figured it out. He solved the equation. Next on The Fan. We'll get back into Oregon and Auburn coming up bottom of the hour. Got to give a full report on the AT&T Stadium experience.
Yeah, we kind of buried the lead there because you wanted to take anger out on Oregon's loss on me, but I'm kind of curious what Jerry World was like.
I'll tell you all about it, man. Coming up 14 minutes from now. How do you stop a hurricane? That is coming up in a few moments. But Hugh Freeze, if you don't remember Hugh Freeze, he was at Ole Miss, very religious guy, and then it turned out he was cheating on his wife with hookers, I believe that was what it was.
With a school cell phone.
Yeah, with a school cell phone. But he was buying hookers, right? Wasn't that what it was?
He was, well, he was texting them.
Okay, just communicating with them other reason.
He was purchasing,
Okay. So he is back now. So he got fired at Ole Miss. He probably cheated his ass off recruiting because Ole Miss was good for a couple of years. Now they're back to being Ole Miss. Now he is at Liberty.
Liberty, Liberty, Liberty.
I think that every time I hear it too. Every time I think of Liberty, I think of that
damn song.
They should
just run with that as their motto.
They should. That should be their fight song, just over and over and over again. Liberty, 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 touchdown Liberty. So he's back at Liberty. He had like a really bad staph infection just recently before the season. So he had to have surgery just a week ago. Like he just had surgery. So they opened at home with Syracuse, which again begs the question, a lot of these games, like why is Syracuse playing at Liberty? Whole nother conversation. But they did. And Hugh Freeze showed up to coach in a hospital bed in the press box.
Yeah.
He gave his team a motivational speech.
Now, did we pull the audio for this?
Is that in the system? I don't know if they pulled it this morning or not. Probably not. So Hugh Freeze gave his team a motivational speech from the hospital bed. They like teleconferenced it down to the locker room.
Yeah.
He then had to do his post-game media availability. Also, like, via video Skype chat from the hospital bed in the press box, which, by the way, the best part about it was they have a contract with Coke. So in the hospital bed, you see these when you turn on a press conference. There's, like, waters and Cokes and Gatorades, whatever the sponsor is. There's usually one on the table while the guys are getting interviewed.
Saban famously has a Coke at his
podium. Always has a Coke at his podium because Coke's the big sponsor of Alabama. He's holding a Coke Zero in the hospital bed. Because they contractually are obligated to have him holding a Coca-Cola. That happened. They lost, by the way, if in case you're wondering, 24-0 to Syracuse.
If somebody, I don't know who it is, but somebody tweeted that this is, I think it was the Big Cat from Barstool. He said, this is my favorite story of 2019.
This is it.
And I'm 1,000% with him. This was, I couldn't believe this was really going on. I thought somebody was playing a joke. And they did like an in-game interview with him. The gal went to his bed in the press box.
Yeah.
And he's laying down explaining why he feels like it's right to still be here coaching.
Like in a hospital gown laying in the bed.
And then somebody found an image. There was a confusing part during the game where there's a miscommunication. And so a guy is holding up the number 5 up to the press box, and Hugh Freeze is holding up a big thumbs up like, yep, that's the one.
That's the play.
And you just see the ridiculous nature of a guy laying in a hospital bed coaching a college football game, which that means they also rolled him into the stadium on a hospital bed, found the big old elevator, took him up, rolled him in, set him up. And obviously it didn't work. They scored 0 points.
No, they did not score any points. They got shut out by Syracuse at home. Yeah, so apparently last month he had really bad back pain, which prevented him from walking. So this is how it all started. He informed Jerry Falwell, the religious dude who is the head of Liberty, and he called none other than Ben Carson, yes, that Ben Carson, to get a consultation for his head coach, Hugh Freeze. The professionals determined that he had a staph infection that was worsening the effects of a herniated disc. So he flew in, had surgery in Charlottesville on August 16th, so just a couple of weeks ago. He told ESPN, quote, the doctors told me if it had been more than 24 hours, the strand of bacteria could have gotten to my heart and that I would have been fighting for my life. It's the way God works because there's no doubt that bacteria would have killed me if President Falwell wasn't so quick to make sure the right people got involved. So he says, saved my life. It was August 16th, he had the surgery.
All right, well, you're not going to make me stop laughing by throwing out the whole, it saved my life. That's great. I'm glad your life got saved.
Have you seen the mashup video of, so in Iowa, they have the children's hospital by the stadium?
Oh, no.
So and are we doing during the game, they have the ceremony, the moment in the game where all the fans turn around and they wave at the children's hospital. So somebody matched up the videos of all the Iowa fans turning and waving, and then Hugh Freeze in his hospital bed waving down to the crowd. I'm all right. I laughed my ass off. I haven't
laughed.
Thanks,
guys. Yeah,
I'm here. I'm alive. Thanks to Jesus. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. He coached from a hospital bed. Like, Joe Paterno did this when he broke his leg. Remember when he just, like, shattered his leg?
But and he wasn't laying in a bed.
I know, but he had to coach from the box because it was, like, the first game. He hasn't been on the sideline in 80 years. He had to, like, coach from the box. This dude laid in a hospital bed.
Yeah, Joe Pa was, like, in the moment, we were all kind of like, okay, I get it. Dude loves football. He's going to die coaching it. I make sense. Like, Hugh Freeze, what are you doing?
Dino Babers, after the game, had to walk out to midfield and give a thumbs up to the press box because he wasn't there for the coach's handshake. Give him a shout out. Shout out, Hugh.
God, dude.
So that happened over the weekend.
It was delightful. We needed it. Again, the weekend was great. We had a lot of good games, a lot of breaking hearts gambling-wise.
I need more Hugh Freeze in my life.
It just added to the storylines of, oh, do you guys know there's an offensive play caller sitting in a hospital bed in the box? What?
He plans on apparently flying to Louisiana for their next game, which is against the Ragin' Cajuns, because, you know, he's got to be there. Got to be there. Get Liberty on the board. They're looking for their first points of the season. They lost 24 to nothing, and he coached the game from the press box in a hospital bed. And by the way, if you have not seen the video of his press conference, go watch it. It's worth it because he's doing it from a hospital bed holding a Coke Zero because contractually he has to.
Yeah, Pat in Sunnyside says, wasn't that an episode of Coach? I don't remember that.
I don't remember that episode.
I liked Coach. I didn't watch every episode of Coach.
Yeah, to the point where I can remember all of them. So that's the gift that
I'll
keeps
look it up, see if there's any like video or image of Coach doing that.
Coaching
the show.
From the hospital bed. Have you guys ever pondered how you stop a hurricane? Like, what's the best way to do it?
I always just think if everybody in said state and city goes to the coastline and we just go,
everybody blows at the same time.
Everybody blows enough wind, it might stop it from coming in and damaging your city. That was always kind of my thinking, but nobody will go through with this idea.
Nobody has the balls to go stand there and face a hurricane, huh?
No, it's always just the weather guy. Let's send the weatherman out to the coast and everybody else departs. And I'm thinking, what if we all just go and blow at one time?
I think that would combat 145 miles an hour.
Let me ask you this. If you lined 1 million people up the coastline, do you think you could get them to blow at the same time, or would everybody go at a different count?
Everybody would go at a different count, which would then negate the force of wind.
Yeah.
How do you get everybody on the same page?
Right? Everybody has a cell phone.
Ah.
And they get all
set
get
your alarm or
the,
something.
The notice at the same time.
Oh, here's the craziest thing. Not everybody's phone runs on the same time.
Yeah, very true.
Did you know that? Did you know Jason Swigart?
What if one person had worse service than the other one?
So Verizon, T-Mobile, whatever service.
No. It's not even a service thing. It's a life thing. If you and I were born at the same exact time and you put a watch on your wrist and you put a watch at mine and you set them, boom, right then and there. By 50 years in, your watch is a different time than mine.
How about that?
Oh, because of our magnetic.
Just everything. Flying, traveling, living different places. There's a bunch of things that changes it. So everybody's. That's why Einstein said time is relative.
I know when you're out in space, that slows the aging process.
Sure, very good, yeah. Yeah, if you're an astronaut.
That's why they came back to Earth and there were apes and they were perfectly in their 30s and 40s.
What the hell is happening right now? So Hurricane Dorian is going to hit Florida here anytime now. It is.
It's just hanging out off. I guess it just took the Bahamas apart.
Yeah, it smashed the Bahamas. By the way, I did see a news story out of Florida, by the way. There was like a zookeeper that had to confirm to people, don't worry, the gators aren't going to get loose from the zoo from the hurricane.
Oh, in Florida?
You're going to have flying gators all over the place. And people laughed at Sharknado. Now we got Shark Gator or no, Gator-nado. Gator-nado.
Gator-nado.
Gators in the tornado, like shark tornadoes.
We're doing, what about a gator cane?
Gator cane.
Gator cane.
Yeah, very true.
Gator clone.
Well, there's one guy in Florida who has figured out, because we've all been wondering, like, how do you do this? Like, the president reportedly wants to nuke them off the ocean, so that's how he wanted to stop them?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that was actually ever an option.
Well, there's a guy in Florida who came up with the probably most reasonable strategy I've ever heard, and here he is.
Can't see how they haven't come up with some kind of way to combat these storms yet. They keep saying, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, oh, it's at this, but it's going to hit all this warm weather. all this warm weather and warm water. We have a Navy. Why don't the Navy come and drop ice in the warm water so it can't get going as fast as it's going? There's got to be ways to combat this instead of just pointing at the thing and saying, well, now it's getting worse. Yeah, we know it's getting worse, but you tell us, oh, it's the warm weather. Oh, it's the wind. Well, we have an Air Force. Drive some Air Force planes around to get the winds going the opposite way. The Navy to go in circles to fight it the other way.
Okay. Where do we start here? The warm weather.
I like how it's a Boston dude totally transplanted down to Florida, and he's got like a Hawaiian shirt on, unbuttoned. Yeah. Like he is adapted well to his Florida lifestyle. What do we think? Are we dropping ice in the ocean or flying Air Force planes in the opposite direction?
Okay, stop. He didn't say that. He said we need to drive our planes.
Sure, you got to drive the planes
down
there.
We need to drive the planes to the hurricane.
Fly them in the opposite direction so you counteract the 145-mile-an-hour gusts, and I think you break up the hurricane. Hurricane won't know what hit him.
You know, we can all make fun of this guy, but we've all had moments where we think of outlandish ways to combat horrific things, haven't we? This guy just happened to do this voluntarily on television and allow all these radio shows, podcasts, etc., to play his fine answer. We've all sat around, though, and gone, would that work? No, that probably wouldn't work.
But maybe airplanes with like parachutes on the back, so it's like pulling the wind with it while it goes around the hurricane.
I mean, in my mind, it makes sense to shoot a nuke at an incoming asteroid.
Sure, yeah.
But would that work?
Bruce Willis, he'll send it up.
It probably wouldn't work.
No, probably wouldn't.
Otherwise, they would do it.
Sure. Well, yeah.
And not go, hey, did you know there was an asteroid that went past Earth by 40,000 miles and it would have destroyed all of us, but we didn't even know about it?
It came really close.
That's what the astronomers have to deal with.
Happy Tuesday. So a Floridian wants to fly some planes down there. Boom. Opposite direction. Hurricane negated. Love the idea. Drop some ice in the ocean. Cool it all down. Sound strategy. Now, I will ask one final question.
The warm weather.
The warm weather. They keep saying it's coming. The warm weather is going to get us. One last question on this. If you guys were in hurricane territory, would you be I'm standing pat hurricane guy, or would you flee the scene?
What's the category?
Last I saw this morning, it was a category 4, sustained winds of 155 miles an hour.
But thankfully, it's not going to hit Florida head on. Like, it's heading up the coast, so you're getting,
tail. But it's not moving. It's just hanging out right now.
Yes.
Are you giving me Young Sprague or current
you right
Sprague?
Now, you right now, you live in Miami and you're somewhere near the ocean.
Category 4, I might hang out, but I'm probably going to get taken away by the wife. Category 5, I'm right the hell out. And I don't care how soft that makes me. I'm not dealing with that.
I don't think that's soft. Yeah. Some people.
Warm weather.
Why don't we just drive the planes next to it?
I'm battening down the hatches and I'm out of there.
You're staying, you're leaving?
I'm going at least to the Gulf Coast if that's far enough.
Do you have to batten down the hatches if you don't stay?
I mean, you'd want to protect your house.
Well,
would you want insurance money?
Windows so, so the windows don't. You know, blow out.
You get new windows with an insurance check.
You got to go through the whole thing. Like, if you could stop it from happening so your house isn't flooded when you return.
How long is it
going
to take to get that insurance claim with, you know,
millions of
them. Atlantic states all filing claims at the same time?
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking a lot of S right now for a guy who's never gone through a hurricane.
Sure.
I don't know. Is there a light 4 versus like...
I don't know what the wind speed is.
Yeah, is there like a 4.1? Yeah, is there like a 4.1?
No, it's not like the Richter scale where it's exponential. No.
Okay. Let me look up. I'm going to look up category
3. So a 4 is pretty
3.
Universal of wind strength.
Yes.
There's specific sustained wind strength that determines the category.
So a 4 or 5, I'm probably out.
Okay, so here we go. Category 1 is less than 96, or just a hurricane, I guess. Category 2 is 96 miles an hour to 110 miles an hour. Category 3 is apparently 111 miles an hour to 130 miles an hour.
Oh, man.
Category 4 is 130 to 156, which is where we are. I think the winds right now are at 145. And then a Category 5 is 157 miles per hour wind and higher.
You know, I think ultimately my final answer is going to be, I haven't even been in winds that go into the Category 3 level. I'm for sure a wuss. I'm out.
Yeah, we have all done that thing at the beach when you get a windy day and you're like leaning against it and you realize that's probably like 40 mile an hour winds.
Yeah, maybe.
Right?
Maybe.
Yeah, add another 100 onto that and that's what they're facing right now. So a dude comes up with a way to stop hurricanes, and Hugh Freeze coached a game from a hospital bed. Fun stuff over the weekend. Hope everybody in the Bahamas, it looks bad. So you just kind of pray for the best out there. Thankfully, it looks like it is heading up the coast and will not hammer Florida directly. In the coming days. Let's get back into Oregon and Auburn. Your thoughts, welcome. 55305, Better You Today text line. The game we all waited for, it has come and gone. Oregon lost 27-21. How do we feel about it? And thanks moving forward. That's next. Welcome back in, 234. Somebody said, where did this go? Said, you do realize we get wind in the Columbia, 150-plus miles per hour. Another one. Where did it go? I lost it. Somebody texted in about surviving them. Flooding is the issue. If you're on high ground, not much reason to leave. Been through several, FYI. Mm. So there you go. Your hurricane thoughts at the Better You Today. Text line.
Well, hopefully everybody's okay over there. And
I think the death toll is already at 5 in the Bahamas. Who knows where it goes from here.
Well, unfortunately for some of those places, those people don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah, you got nowhere. I mean, you're on an island. You don't have a lot of money. You don't have an option. So you're just stuck there.
And that's what somebody said is, you know, a lot of it has to do with your poverty level.
Without a doubt, man. Without a doubt. Oregon and Auburn over the weekend. Your thoughts are welcome. 55305. I will say we haven't talked much about the stadium yet and like the fan atmosphere. Major shout out to Oregon fans. That's like one of the best games I've ever been to in which they traveled. Now I don't know how it sounded on TV.
You could hear the like when it was third down for Auburn. You could hear the
You could hear the O chant.
It wasn't super strong, but you could hear it pretty well.
There were more Auburn fans there to the surprise of no one. Right. So they made more noise and there was more sound from that side of the stadium. But Oregon was really well represented. I'd say it was somewhere in the range of not quite 60-40, probably just like high 50s. No, like high 50s, low 40s kind of thing. It was pretty
like
evenly
a 58-42?
Split. Yeah, pretty evenly split considering the time that it took to get there for Duck fans and stuff. And by the way, I heard there was a lot of Duck fans that couldn't get there.
Yeah, their flights got screwed.
A lot of people got either stuck in Portland. There's a lot of Duck fans that got stuck in Phoenix, I think, that had like a connecting flight in. Like apparently the weather in Dallas was just atrocious Friday afternoon.
When I got done with the show Friday, because I teased your guys' preview show I don't know, a handful of times. When I got done, I was about to leave and Boss Man had mentioned your guys' flight got delayed.
Yeah, we got delayed for probably 2 hours Friday.
And he was like, I'm just, you know, scrambling to try to find somewhere for them to do it because they still have to land and then you have to drive and check in. And
chickens with their head cut off.
So when I left the building, I was under the assumption that there is a chance you might not even have a preview show.
Yeah, we got really lucky. Like the pilot was like, yeah, we're just going to go. We'll see if we can land. I was like, okay.
That scares the crap out of me when they do that.
But, I mean, he made it work. We had to do figure eights around Dallas for like a half hour because there were so many planes that had gotten delayed or hadn't taken off. So there was like a big traffic jam around the airport.
Did you peruse around the tailgate scene?
No, I didn't have a chance to. Oh. We didn't have a chance to do anything. So we landed Thursday or Friday night. We went directly to the studio to host the Friday night show that we did. Saturday, we woke up and we left for the stadium at like 11:30. And we got. I just wanted to get in the stadium and see it. The area around it is kick ass. Like, there's a lot to do in that Texas Live. A lot of bars. There was a ton of people out there, and you could sense that the atmosphere was really cool. And we actually did the show Friday night from the station that we did it at was right next to the Mavs Arena.
Oh,
which
yeah,
is
American
really
Airlines.
Cool.
Beautiful.
It's a cool arena.
It's a beautiful looking arena.
It's a cool area. There's bars and stuff down there. Like they were right next to it. We were at the ESPN station there in Dallas is where we did it.
And you're not too far from where JFK was shot.
Oh, is that close by to there?
It's not. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Oh. Yeah. Right around the corner.
I'm morbid. I'm just kidding. No, I've been there. It's a super cool scene over there.
The arena doesn't look like an arena. The basketball one?
It's a big brick one.
It is.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Like on its own city block, like in the middle of downtown. Like, I don't know.
Kind of looks like a courthouse, doesn't it?
It looks exactly like a courthouse. Yeah. So that was really cool. The stadium itself, like for people who haven't been to AT&T Stadium, it's hard to even describe how amazing it is. It is the biggest thing I've ever seen. You get in.
That's what she said.
Hey-oh. you get in, it's like everything is perfectly put together. There's a million bathrooms. Dusty noted that, and we joked about it, because there's bathrooms like every 8 feet, which is great. You
That's
love
not
it
a bad
a
problem to have.
No, you don't have to wait in line everywhere you go. The press room is just massive. Like, the whole facility is just incredible. Like, and it makes you wonder how nice L.A. is going to be and Vegas is going to be and Atlanta's is, because walking around that thing, it is far and away the nicest stadium I've ever been in.
What impressed you the most about it?
I mean, it's the video board. The video board is, it goes from the 20-yard line to the other 20-yard line. And you hear that it's big, and you know, like, you realize in your head, that's big. And then you get there and you see it, and it's like, oh, my God. It's massive. It feels like if you turn it down and laid it down, it's wider than the length of the football field and goes 20 to 20. Damn it. That goes 20 to 20. Like, the video board being as big as it is blew you away. It blew you away. Giant video board.
I actually was just really wanting you to do that, and you totally
fell into that trap.
It's bigger than you think. You get it in person, and you can't believe how big it is.
A lot of girth there. A lot of girth to that video board.
Were Auburn fans, you see any problems with anybody? Or?
No, we took an elevator up with some really hammered Duck fans who were chirping at Auburn fans. And it was like two old ladies, and they weren't really responding. And then they got one
shot. Wait, they were chirping at old ladies?
Not in a bad way. Like, it was fun, drunk banter. Like, oh, not okay. Like, hey, we're going to be, you know, like, none of that kind of stuff.
Where are you going, old lady?
No, it was one of those, like, every floor that we stopped at on the elevator, they'd say, all the Auburn fans got to get out. Yeah, you know, like, yeah. Just drunk fan banter. I didn't see any altercations between the fans. The toughest part, though, whenever you travel to a game like that is the next day when your team loses, having to do the walk of shame at the airport. Because everybody wears their school colors back to the airport the
next
day.
It's like all you pack.
Right? You just pack your team gear, and then you're flying home. Yeah. You're all proud of your team. And we walked into the Dallas airport, the terminal we were in, and we were walking to our gate, and we walked by back-to-back Atlanta flights. And it was just nothing but blue and orange.
Go Tigers!
And you're just...
Did you get to check by the locker room, like the bowels of the stadium, to see what that was like?
The bowels of the stadium were the whole thing is massive. Like, you walk around the corridors, and there are like 100-yard wide corridors down below the stadium. So we saw the bar area that the team walks through that they show and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We walked through. They put, by the way, on the two sides, so there's like a bar on each side of the stadium underneath, and they had one being an Auburn bar for big, ritzy alumni fans, and then the same thing for Oregon on the other sideline. And we walked through the Auburn one on our way onto the field just to get a sense of it. Everybody's looking at us like in our Duck stuff walking through the Auburn bar. And I think all the fans who went would probably attest to it. Like, you just go, and it's like, how, and Jorgie said it on the pregame, and it's so true. Like, how is every big game not played here? It's that impressive of a facility that it just, every game should be played at that stadium.
I mean, you kind of already said it, though. I mean, pretty soon, I think most of them are going to be at that one, because you can call it the Cotton Bowl, Atlanta, mm-hmm. and then I think the LA one. And then you're going to sprinkle in Vegas there. I mean, are you really kind of looking at 3 to 4 huge stadiums in those cities where I could see in the future most of the non-conference neutral site games being played at?
The Super Bowls, the big-time bowl games, national championships and stuff.
And I'm actually okay with that, because I think it does two things. I think, one, it gives you a known venue for things. Like, if they said the Super Bowl was going to be held in L.A. every single year, I'm not really that upset by it. I know it's in L.A. I know what the weather's going
to
be.
Yeah, you never have to worry about any of those concerns.
And just like we know the Pac-12 title game is going to be in Vegas, it makes it easier to go, hey, next December, I'm going to Vegas, right?
Right.
I think similarly, those stadiums might be hosting all of the events, and people can go, well, what about my stadium? You know what? That's what makes your stadium special, too, is if your team doesn't do a neutral site, they do a home-and-home, fans get to experience those stadiums. And then you do the baseball tour. You see how cool those stadiums are, mm-hmm. the basketball. Like, you can go check out all the other stadiums, and they can be unique in their own right while saying, hey, we have 4 state-of-the-art, world-class, billion-dollar venues here. This is where most of the events are going
to
be held.
This is where they're going to be.
And everybody else has their own thing.
Yeah, all easy cities to get to as well. No, it lived up to the hype, and then some awesome. The ending of the game sucked for me as a fan, but the just experience of being there. The first time you walk around, it's all muggy because it's Texas, of course, so it's hot and humid and all that stuff. The first time you walk up to the stadium and we opened a door to like get in our media entrance, and you just get smacked in the face with air conditioning. And it's like,
how hot was it there?
I mean, it was not overwhelmingly hot, but it was like 95 and humid. So I mean, you're sweating every time you're outside. Like, it's that thick, kind of sticky, humid, you know, muggy weather. And you get within like 5 foot of a door and it opens and you just feel the blast of the air conditioning coming out, which then led to us talking like, how much is that energy bill at that stadium?
Probably insanely stupid.
I can't even imagine what it costs.
And lastly, what was the media food? Because people think media food, it's like, oh, you guys got free food. You're lucky. It's like, well, sometimes the media food actually sucks. It's garbage potato salad.
Yeah, most of the time at Autzen, it's like over, like warm hot dogs, kind of. You get like chili dogs.
Oregon State does too.
The media food was the best media food I've ever had. It was like they had chefs cutting up prime rib and sausages.
You know who does that?
Homemade mac and cheese.
Boise.
Boise's got good media food?
Boise's got class A media food. They've got chefs cutting for you. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it was off the charts, man. So if you've never been to a game at AT&T Stadium, I highly recommend going. It was awesome. Hopefully your teams get a chance to play there someday, and hopefully Oregon gets a win in that stadium someday, because I got to get rid of those demons, man. Okay, let's get to the poll questions, wrap up the show. Some final thoughts on the opening weekend of college football, Oregon and Auburn as well. That's coming up next on The Fan. I heard you cry. Hey, 249, final segment. Primetime coming up top of the hour. I think Rob's out today, so it's a Sook and Lynch edition of Primetime.
Boy, did Rob time that one perfectly.
A little Labor Day trip. Labor Day, baby. Shout out to all of you who listened today.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys a lot.
Whether you're working or not. When you interact with us on a day like today, it makes us feel less crappy about having to be the only ones in the office. Because we are the only ones in the office.
Well, you know, there's one of our P1s. He gives me some grief because I'm the OSU guy and my team sucks. But I'm tired of this slander of get my team out of the conference and put said different team in.
You're not willing to acknowledge that stuff anymore?
No, because those teams would suck like Oregon State if they had to play in the Pac-12 on a regular basis.
Yeah, if you had to play 9 conference games against that level of competition week in and week out. Yeah.
See Utah. Utah now is at a great level, right?
Took them a long time, though.
But they sucked really bad when they joined at first. It took them 3-4 years to start being able to recruit on a Pac-12 level, and then even then it took them another 2, and then they became what they are. Boise, Fresno, whoever you want to say may get to that point, but I don't believe that would be the norm.
Yeah, I think most of that is just people being mad at their own team, too. Not mad at you, you're mad at your dad kind of thing, you know. I wanted to take shots at Crawford on Saturday on Twitter, and I decided not to.
Well, he actually supported you guys.
Well, no.
And then he did a little
trashed
dig,
every time I root for Oregon, they do something stupid and screw it up, blah, blah, blah. And I wanted to respond. Well, Oklahoma State just scored again, so. But I didn't. I held back. I didn't. I was above the fray on that. I also saw his season prediction. Did you play that guy? Did you play it on The Fan Friday?
He did it too late. He did it at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I missed to play his 6-6 prediction.
He did. And he thought they were going to go 3-0 in non-conference. So he's not off to a great start.
And they might go 0-2 given what we saw from that defense. Here's the thing I have to ask you though.
Okay.
Because you said your cousin texted you and talked a little trash right after the Oregon loss. And then Crawford stuff. If you actually end up saying it out loud,
does it mean that I let it go?
Does it mean you let it go? It's okay if you say, yeah, I couldn't let it go.
No, clearly I couldn't. By the way, on Utah notes, so you brought that up. The last 3 years, they were in the Mountain West Conference.
Yeah.
They were 13-0, 10-3, 10-3.
They were dominant.
Their first 4 years in the conference, they were 8-5, 5-7, 5-7, 9-4.
Yeah.
And then they pop with a 10-win season, and they went back to 9, then they went back to 7, and then last year they were 9-5.
Well, and I think Whittingham has acknowledged this in multiple interviews too. There is an element of you play in the Mountain West, you have the Mountain West talent, you're getting the best talent in that conference, so you're sticking out the most, right? And this isn't to discredit them or Boise or whoever. But Whittingham admitted it took him a few years to be able to recruit and get those guys at the Pac-12 level.
Yeah.
And he didn't know there was a difference. He thought going in they were going to be A-okay because they had won big games before, because they had played some Pac-12 opponents in the past, and they just couldn't. On a week-in, week-out basis, they just could not compete. And so it took him a full recruiting class cycle.
Right, 4 years.
For him to start getting those kinds of guys in there. And look, he's an amazing coach too. So you're seeing what that hard work pays off.
And they're there now because they're the favorites in the South again. They went to the conference title game for the first time last year. They're the favorites again in the South. So it just takes time, no doubt. But also that's a moot point because it's not going to happen.
I just don't think they are the norm. I don't think every small school that's successful becomes Utah. I think it's more a cautionary tale to schools like Rutgers who join and they can never get their footing.
Yeah, it's one of the worst programs in the country. Let's get to the poll questions. Based on what you saw in week one, who wins the Pac-12? If it's not an option, you can respond with who. The four teams I put on the poll, Utah, Washington, Oregon, and Washington State. We all stuck with our original picks. You kept with Washington. Swigarn and I kept with Utah after what we saw one game in. Oregon won the poll 45%. Then it was Washington at 30%. Then Utah at 17%. 9% going with Washington State. That Houston game will be interesting for the Cougs, I think. Yeah, Houston's defense is atrocious, but they can move the ball a little bit.
They score. I mean, they covered the spread against Oklahoma.
They did. I know that well. Where do you put the majority of the blame? Sorry, what, you got some?
No, I was going to say, I forgot to throw this in earlier when we talked about Oregon, and I know we're going to talk about Oregon tomorrow, too, because not all listeners are hanging out today. But I don't think their loss should also be representative of where people put them in the Pac-12. Nor knock it down. I think it's also reality. The reality is that Auburn's probably the fourth best team in this conference in the SEC.
In the SEC, yeah.
Right? Maybe. Maybe they're a little better this year, but...
No, you would put them right now at least behind Alabama, Georgia, and LSU.
Yeah, probably.
And then they're there with like a Texas A&M, you know, Florida. I think those Auburn, those teams are kind of in that next
So category. Anywhere from four through six is probably where they're going to finish. And they beat Oregon. But, guys, I just think maybe that's also the reality of the Pac-12.
Sure.
Oregon's one of the better talented teams. They couldn't beat that Auburn team.
Same thing happened to Washington last year.
Right.
Where do you put the blame for the loss? We have a tie. 700 votes into this. 43% said the mistakes, drop fumble, drop touchdown, fumble, miss kick. 43% put it on coaching. 6% put it on Herbert. And 8% put it on the wide receiver injuries. And then were you encouraged or discouraged by Oregon State on Friday night? 53% said encouraged. 47% said discouraged. There you go. There's the poll questions. A programming note, Mario Cristobal will join the show Wednesday at 12:15. So we'll get a chance to ask him a couple of days removed from a loss, how he's feeling going into Nevada this upcoming weekend. We do have one more game today in the slate of college football. Notre Dame is a 19.5-point favorite at Louisville. Do they cover?
God, that's a big spread.
I'm going to take Louisville.
You like the plus 19?
Give me the 19.5. I'll take it at home.
Well, kiss of death to you. Rolling with the dogs. Plus 19. I like those points.
There you go. Good show. If you miss any of it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. Thank you for laboring with us on a Labor Day. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.